This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
We hear it out of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the first 18 verses. Hear now the word of God. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabbinai," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me. I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. On Monday, March 20th, at 5:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it first arrived. Spring was actually here. It was the official time of the vernal equinox, or the spring equinox. This is when the earth is almost straight up and down towards the sun, and most of the world, from sunset to sunrise, is about 12 hours long. Last Thursday was the first full moon after the spring equinox. And now we're here on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox, which means it's Easter. If you ever wonder why the date changes, that's why. It's always the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. There's a cartoon on my bulletin board outside my office if you want to know a little bit more. But what that means is since it's Easter, that must mean Christ is risen. Here we are, Easter morning, our bellies full from the wonderful breakfast. The end of a long 40 days is now over. You can eat whatever it was that you gave up for Lent. You can stop doing whatever you added for Lent. Our journey into our souls can now rest another year. We can bask in the reality that death could not keep our Lord and Savior. Sin has been defeated. And now we can find assurance that we are going to be with God one day because of all of this. Because he sent his son. Because his son died our death on Good Friday and then rose again today on Easter Sunday. We proclaim Christ is risen. Tomorrow we will stand on the other side of Easter. We'll celebrate it for 50 great days. This great 50 days starts today. The season of Easter is longer than the season of the preparation for it, longer than the season of Lent. That is because as we have dived into the depths of our soul, we confessed our sins and then witnessed what God has done for us. We then celebrate because truly we are Easter people. We get the chance to live on the other side of the resurrection. We have to figure out how to do that, though. Did you hear the one about the preacher and the lawyer and the stand-up comedian? That's her. Her name's Susan Sparks from Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York City. And you heard me right. She is a woman who is a Baptist minister who went to school to become a lawyer and then during that process also became a stand-up comedian who then went on to become a minister. Her life is literally a joke. I was introduced to her through a podcast I listened to called Day One, and I was touched by the way she framed her Easter message. Before we get into a little bit of that, let me step back 1 second. So each Sunday, which is why each Sunday is a little Easter, which is why each Sunday during the season of Lent is not counted in the 40 days. If we did that, Lent would be 47 days. But each Sunday is a day that we come to celebrate and proclaim and worship the one who was resurrected from the dead today. Every Sunday, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday, we should shout with joy that Christ is risen. But we don't always. I don't always preach about the resurrection. And I confess that really the only time that I talk about life after death, maybe in a sermon series here and there throughout the year, but most of the time, it's at funerals. That is where we often think about the message of the resurrection to be true. As we stare death in the eye, we thank God that our Lord does not let that be the end for us. Yet the resurrection is not something that we should wait until a funeral to proclaim. As Reverend Sparks said, death can come long before the end of life. She went on in her sermon to talk about something that her family called resurrection biscuits. Her grandmother lives in South Carolina and apparently a great cook, like most Southern grandparents would be. Yet there is one thing her grandmother cannot cook, and that is biscuits, which every good Southern person would say, "Aw, bless her heart." Which somehow makes it okay to talk about someone's grandmother. But still, apparently what happened with Reverend Sparks' grandmother is that she refused to use any type of baking soda or baking powder in her biscuit recipe. So when her biscuits would come out, they'd make hockey pucks look soft and fluffy. Her family said that if you dropped one on the ground, it would wake the dead, which is why they called them resurrection biscuits. All her grandmother needed was one more ingredient, and her biscuits would come out light and fluffy instead of waking the dead. Reverend Sparks in her sermon goes on to explain that all we need is one ingredient in our lives to make us whole, and that ingredient is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without it, death can come long before the end of life. Do you know anyone who is walking around dead in this world? They exist only because they are here and there's really no other purpose that they seem in their life. Life has smacked them hard across the face and now they are stunned and they're lost. Life for them is full of mourning, full of pain, full of illness. They don't know what to do since haven't worked in 2 years, or they just can't fight this disease or illness any longer. They can't see past that day of their accident. They're stuck, without purpose, without vigor, without life. They are the dead walking among us. Mary was like that. After the Sabbath was over, she collected the things she needed to prepare Jesus' body, and she made her way down to the tomb. The Gospels name her as one of the women who were actually watched Jesus die on the cross. So she heard the hammers on Friday hit the nails and pierce his hand. Excuse me. She heard the... Nope, not gone yet. Talk amongst yourselves. Here we go. All right, I'm back. So she heard the hammers hit the nails and pierced his hands and feet. She heard the cries of pain and watched him attempt to push himself up in order just to gasp another breath. She was there when the soldier stuck a spear in his side and out came water and blood. She watched as Jesus died, as her Lord died, the one that she followed, the one that she loved. And so pain brought her to the tomb that morning. Anguish and depression guided her to the place of our Lord's burial. It was there she was prepared to meet the worst thing that had happened in her life. We have moments where we cannot stand to relive. We have places of pain and suffering. In the book and in the movie, The Shack, the main character, Mac, is called back to a place of his greatest pain. He's called back to a cabin where they found his daughter's dress and blood. And it's there the reality of her kidnapping and murder comes crashing down upon him. We have those shacks as well. Places we can't go, issues we don't want to face, people we don't ever want to see again, because death takes over our souls when that happens. Then we transform into the walking dead as we are consumed by it. Mary headed to that tomb early in the morning. She carried the weight of solitude, for no one else was with her in the Gospel of John. She carried the weight of oils and perfume to seal death around Jesus. She carried the pain of what she witnessed on Friday. All that weight bore down on her soul, and she wept. Then she arrived at the tomb. Then she saw the stone rolled away. She ran to tell the disciples, who came running up as well. After Peter and John headed back home, she sat there and wept outside the tomb once again, all alone. There, she feels dead. Life is hard. There's nothing about life that is easy. Kids don't sleep well and they get sick, which means that parents don't sleep well and eventually they get sick. The people in our Sunday school classes, they all go on to the church triumphant, so our classes get smaller and smaller as we bid farewell and celebrate their lives, which then makes us ask the question, are we next? Family issues never seem to go away and consume all of our thoughts and time. Loneliness keeps creeping in and devours our passions and our hopes for the future. It is there that we feel dead. As the story goes, then a man asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she says, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is that you were looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbunani." It's in our despair, it's in our grief, it's in our pain, and it's in our suffering that the risen Lord and Savior meets us and calls out our name. It is in life that our Lord transforms us into Easter people. Yes, one of the perks of following Christ is eternity in his presence and the presence of God after death. But before we get there, Christ, through his resurrection, saves our lives. Today we come to worship. Death was still around us. The sanctuary was still dead and the altar barren. But now, it's full of life. Where death used to be is now life. Death could not keep our Lord, and the small and big deaths in our lives do not keep Christ from meeting us and from calling us by name. That is the promise of Easter. That is the promise of living in the resurrection. That is the promise we get to live in the midst of every single day as Easter people. Resurrection is promised at the end of our life. But what is wonderful, so we can proclaim the power now as we live. We can live the resurrection knowing that no matter what happens to us and no matter where life takes us, the risen Lord will be there. The resurrection is our missing ingredient that lightens our lives. As As Max spent the weekend with God in that cabin of his worst nightmare, he was transformed. Mary was transformed as Jesus called her name. As we see God in our midst, when we visit our pain and our issues, we too can be transformed from death to life. Because today, on Easter Sunday, we boldly proclaim that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you for who you are. You are our God, and you know us each by name. You call us to yourself so that we can bask in the glory of your resurrection. And so on this Easter morning, may we come to the tomb and find it empty, and may our souls find life once again. May the things that cause death in our life be transformed to make life and life more abundant. May your Holy Spirit work in each and every one of us. And if your Holy Spirit is stirring in us now, make us one with you so that we can join together to bring about the kingdom of God here and now. We thank you for this gift, for this wonderful gift of your resurrection. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.